You're just going down there to look for Jake Fromm, aren't you?
There you go.
Well, you know, we did our show down here at a restaurant. We were inviting people to come in with scoop about Jake Fromm, but everybody came in with the same stuff I was hearing, which was one person came in and said he was staying, the next person came in and said he was going. So that was how it was going for a couple of days.
Well, now we know. What do you think?
Well, I guess I'm not surprised. I mean, I don't know. I don't know when Jake's going to be drafted. It's going to be interesting. I'm sure he's going to impress at the combine. He's an impressive young man, and I think he'll probably put on a good show. And I could see him going in the late first round. I know, and I was listening to you guys earlier, and I've heard you say that Walter Football, I think, was out with a new mock. Where did they have him? Because I think they had him at 38 last week.
They've got him going to the Patriots at, like, number 23.
Wow. Well,
first rounder.
I think New Orleans and New England are possibilities, aren't they? I think we've got to believe that. That's very possible.
Yeah. And Bill Belichick has shown over and over and over he loves taking these Georgia guys. And whatever he sees in Jake Fromm might be more than other executives and coaches see. So I think he would certainly be more than happy to turn Jake Fromm into one of his Georgia projects. I could see it happening very clearly.
I could, too. I really could, too. It wouldn't surprise me. And you know, I'm sure he'll be in Athens for Georgia's pro day and see how that goes. It wouldn't surprise me either, Logan. I think that. And New Orleans has got to look for a quarterback. At some point, those guys in their 40s are going to step back. So I wouldn't be surprised with either one of those teams taking him in the late first round. I don't know about New Orleans' pick. I think they do have their first round, if I remember correctly. So, I wouldn't be surprised by either one of those teams taking him.
Bill Shanks joining us as the news came down yesterday that Jake Fromm was leaving, and then right behind that, the Cade Mays and the transfer portal news. What a crazy day it was.
Unreal. Yeah, it was. I'm more worried about that than the quarterback. I say that with all due respect to Jake, but I just think Kirby Smart will get another quarterback, and I hope it's Jamie Newman. I try to keep up with the SEC and the ACC as closely as I can during the year. And David, you know those notes I sent.
We appreciate that.
And you know those weekly notes I kept on seeing with Wake Forest as they were starting the season undefeated. Man, this Newman kid's doing well, and he had a very good wide receiver, Sage Surratt, I believe his name was. And he got hurt there at the end of the season. They really struggled after that. Of course, their schedule got a little tougher too. But I would love to see Newman come up. A good friend of mine here in Middle Georgia is a Wake Forest grad, and he thinks he would be a great fit for UGA. I'm not saying it wouldn't be a downturn from Jake necessarily, but I think they'd be in good hands. I just like what I saw with the numbers and a few times I saw the highlights of what Newman did. But that offensive line all of a sudden does worry you a little bit. They've got to get Broderick Jones. They've got to keep him away from Auburn in Tennessee. And, you know, they've got to hope that his dad doesn't come to any event and get his finger chopped off. That's for damn sure. But they need him because, he could be like Andrew Thomas. He could maybe possibly step right in and start pretty early. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how that offensive line shakes out for sure.
Talking with our man Bill Shanks, who is I know you were a little under the weather yesterday, but you feeling better today?
I am, yes. Thank you, Dave. I am feeling better.
All right, good. I am glad to hear that. And I can feel you on your age and things that end with itis. Join the club, brother.
I'm with you. Not easy always.
Yeah, but hope you're doing better and certainly glad to hear all of that. All right. Maybe I'm in the minority here because I've been so locked in on football and everything, but I'm one of those that thinks – the Braves should, even though it's 4 years and it's over $100 million, I'm in the thinking that Josh Donaldson is a guy that can lead you to a World Series championship. I would do the 4 years, $110 million. Tell me if I'm crazy or if you agree with me.
Well, if you're not crazy, and if I knew for sure, David, that Liberty Media was going to be okay with that payroll continuing to go up and they wouldn't they wouldn't clamp down on that payroll, I'd probably be a little bit easier with it. I'm kind of the opinion now they ought to move on, to be honest with you. And I think part of my feeling with that is almost the curiosity of what would happen if Donaldson did not come back. I mean, look, there's no doubt the Donaldson situation of him resigning with the Braves and then not having to give up prospects for another bat would be probably the best situation. I mean, I still think they need help. I still think they don't have a championship rotation. I've belabored that point over and over. You have a lot of hopes for 2020 of that rotation. You hope Newcomb can come back to the rotation. You hope Folty can be okay. You hope Freed can duplicate what he did before. You hope Soroka is as special as we think he is, and you hope Cole Hamels is not done at 36. So I'm still worried about their rotation a little bit, and now it's Flint Pickens as far as the choices. But, yeah, the best-case scenario would probably be for them to have Donaldson come back and then, you know, have the prospects ready to where if you need that starting pitcher going into the season at some point, whether it's spring training or, you know, sometime during the year, then trade prospects for a starting pitcher. I think my concern is, you know, Freddie Freeman's contract's up after 2021. He's making $22 million this year and next year. You could assume that he's going to want 25 or more. And Freddie's going to be 32 in the first year of his new contract in 2 years. So that means you'll be paying $25 to $30 million for a 32-year-old through 37, 38-year-old with his contract if you re-sign him, which I think we expect they will. And then Donaldson with a 34 through 37 years making $27.5 million or something like that. I mean, I ask the question is, do you want two players in your lineup? And is Donaldson going to be the fourth best player in your lineup in a couple of years, David? That's another thing that I kind of wonder about. Now, if the money's there, we shouldn't care. But that's, I think, one question I have is to make sure that money is there. And, you know, he's taking his time, and I think Ken Rosenthal was on TV the other day, and I think he said it right. You know, last year, Bryce Harper and Manny Machado waited until someone met their number, and I think Donaldson's doing the same thing.
Yeah, and I should make it known it's not my money, so it's easier for me to say. I do want to ask you this. We'd gotten an email from Robert, and I guess I hadn't really thought about this, you know, because people keep saying, well, you know, the first 2 years of the contract, it'll be fine. If it's those last 2 years where you feel like you've got this big anchor, will the National League, in your opinion, have the DH in the next couple of years? And then would that make it not quite as bad as far as the length and the amount of the contract? Or is that not a factor, the DH?
Well, I don't know if that's a factor too much because he's so good defensively at third base.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of part of it. I mean, yeah, you would think, all right, if he gets older and his defensive skills slip, the man still should be able to get up there four times a night and swing the bat.
Right.
And I think that's true. So if he did have a downturn, but man, we saw some of the best defensive third base we've seen in Atlanta history last year of that cat. So I would think even if he slipped a little bit, he'd still be a good defensive third base. But I think that is something you have to keep in mind. I think that's a good point that it's a possibility you're going to need another big bat in your lineup. And so therefore, do you kind of justify his signing for his 36 and 37 year old whereby saying, well, you know, look, we've got to have that other bat, and if we go, let's say in 2 years they still have Austin Riley, they haven't traded him. Austin Riley's our young third baseman, but we've got to have that big bat, so we're going to have, you know, let's just say this scenario, and I thought about this, David. All right, let's say no big trades are made with the position players. Let's say Drew Waters and Christian Pache join Acuna in the outfield. Riley takes over at third base, and Donaldson's your DH. Well, if Riley and Waters and Pache live up to their potential, that's a great lineup. You know, that could be a really, really good lineup. So, yeah, and it's all here's another thing I thought about maybe to justify kind of along that DH part is, you know, David, if Pache and Waters do, in fact, take over in the outfield and join Acuna, they're going to be cheap players for a couple of years, really cheap players. So, you know, could that be part of the equation, too, that they say, well, you know, how is our payroll going to be? We've got Acuna and Ozzie at pretty cheap prices, let's be honest. for a while. They're not going to be paid a whole lot of money comparatively. You do have to re-sign Freddie, but it's not like you're going from 8 to 25. You're going to go from 22 to 25 or 27. So, I mean, there's justification for making this happen. I think it's just the comfortability of look, and I said this the other day. I was talking about this at length, and I'm like, you know, the age is the biggest thing with me. If he were 1 year older, it'd be easier. 2 years older, it'd be easier. 3 years older, but, man, you're 34 years old now, and we do have a history now in MLB of players getting their mid-30s and it popping off pretty quick.
Talking with Bill Shanks, a little Georgia, a little Braves. Anything else you want to throw out there, Logan?
I'm just at that point in the Braves offseason where we're only waiting on Josh Donaldson. Besides that headline and that story we're all waiting on, what else should Braves fans be keeping an eye on right now, Bill?
Logan, I think the bad thing about the situation is they're kind of waiting on Donaldson because if they commit the money to Donaldson, then they're going to have to really see where they're at. They're going to have to see, you know, do we have to trade in Renciarte? Do we have to try to pair off any other money to be able to have flexibility to bring anyone else in? I mean, I think the bullpen's fine. I mean, you can make a case the rotation is fine. That with those five I mentioned, with Hamels and Soroka and Freed and Folty and Newcomb, plus Bryce Wilson and Kyle Wright and Ian Anderson, that you should be all right. And that's very possible. It's not out of the question for that to happen. So, you know, they may not need another pitcher besides some Anibal Sanchez type like they bought in 2 years ago. I think they've got to still get another bench player or two. They need to bring in a backup shortstop. Echeverria has been mentioned as a possibility. And you know, look, they may still want to bring in another bat even if they got Josh Donaldson to be better than Ender Inciarte, because that's kind of a question mark going in. Donaldson re-signs, you got him at third base. Then you got Marcakis, who they really want to platoon. And then Inciarte in center with Acuna in left until you know more about Waters and Pache. You know, how good is that lineup? I think they still would have to answer that. But until they know if they're going to have $27 million or so on their payroll per year, I don't know if they can do anything substantial.
Bill, let me ask you this question. This isn't a Braves question, but it's more of a baseball question in general. Are we going to start finding out that more and more teams are cheating? You know, is this going to be something that, what we found out with we're finding out with the Astros and now the Red Sox? I'm just starting to wonder if this is going to be something that probably isn't as maybe crazy and uncommon as maybe it seems like right now. But have you had any discussions on that with anybody, or what do you think is going on with all of that?
I think it's a great question, David, and I think that, you know, the Braves got caught for something a couple of years ago and punished very violently almost for something that a lot of teams do, most teams do, probably all teams do, and that is do agreement with international players before they're eligible to be signed. And I think it's the same kind of thing in that the Astros and the Red Sox are now getting caught doing things that probably most teams do or at least try to do. And, I think this is not the end of it. We're probably going to hear more of it. Now, will it deter? I'm sure after the Braves got caught doing what they did, every scouting department, international scouting department said, okay, we better cover our tracks and, you know, bury the bodies, if you will, when we're doing what the Braves are doing. And I'm not trying to get the Braves off the hook. They were stupid. They were blatant. They were not careful about it. But everybody does most of the things they were doing. Now, most of the things, not all of the things. But I think teams with technology today, David, you just can't imagine that teams wouldn't try to have an edge. I think it's going to be an ongoing issue. And the punishments that are going to be handed out are going to be really interesting because, look, again, to compare it with that international scouting situation for the Braves, I mean, he got the death penalty because he didn't cooperate, but John Coppolella is toast and can't be in baseball anymore and is selling condos down in Florida now from what I hear.
Wow.
I don't think these baseball executives who may have even thought about doing something with technology to get an edge by stealing signs are going to risk that same thing. And I'm not saying that Cora, manager of the Red Sox, who was also with the Astros a couple of years ago, is going to be thrown out of baseball by any means. But, I mean, he's probably going to have a pretty harsh penalty if he's found to be guilty of what people are talking about here. And, man, that copy punishment is a deterrent for everybody to not cheat, you know, and whether it's international signing allegations or cheating with technology. So I'm going to be really interested to see how the commissioner handles this and how this plays out, especially if Cora is the manager of the Boston Red Sox. It's not like he's manager of Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
How they're going to handle it, because, you know, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying, and technology, if people in that, you know, everybody's got a replay room, David, and if people in that replay room have thought, you know what we could do? Why don't we try this? And you don't know what could happen. But so I think it's going to be something to watch for certain.
Yeah, I just keep wondering when we're going to hit. You know, and even like, you know, the Falcons got hit with, was it Rich McKay got hit with the music or no, the
noise
or crowd noise they were pumping. I mean, it's like, it's not just baseball. It's just like every sport, they're trying to do something to get an edge. And that's that was the intent of my question was, is like, are we just going to find out that like something like this is, you know, just more common and prevalent than we probably think it is. And maybe it is. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I really don't. In fact, I'll even throw this out there. So I don't know if you're familiar with the Vandy Whistler. Have we ever talked about that?
Uh-uh.
All right, so there's a guy or two, there may be two of them, and they're very annoying. And at all the Vandy baseball games, they do this whistling where they just, and I can't do the sound. Yeah, but it's always in three, and it's like, Logan just did that. That was pretty good. But it's like 100 times louder. And they just do that constantly throughout the game. And I always say, once you hear it the first time, you can't not hear it. Then you hear it the rest of the game, and it drives you crazy. And I am not saying that I believe what I'm about to say. I'm just saying, if you told me like that they're like somehow tipping pitches for Vanderbilt, it wouldn't surprise me. I'm not saying that's what they're doing, because I don't think they are. But that's the kind of stuff that I just wonder if there's just more and more of that kind of stuff going on than we actually think. And what other kinds of, I don't want to say cheating, but ways to get an edge are out there that we don't know of that we're going to find out. I'm sure it is. I'm sure there's things like that. You know?
Oh, yeah.
What happened to the good old Vaseline under the hat, man?
Yeah, Gaylord
just keep
Perry.
It, keep it how simple, man.
How come people aren't naming their kids Gaylord these days?
Come on.
Now, I'll ask you this. Do you think, you know, if you want to talk about cheating, you know, there's the steroid dilemma of guys that are now eligible for the Hall of Fame and they're not getting in because they cheated and used steroids. Do you think that's any different than Gaylord Perry admitting that he cheated, even though it wasn't the same thing?
Not really. I mean, I don't.
It's still cheating.
Yeah, it's cheating. I mean, I think it's kind of the same. Gaylord Perry did. Don Sutton won 300 games. I guarantee he had something on that cap.
And it's funny, too, because with those guys, like, oh, those are the good old, you know, just chuckle and, you know, slap them on the back and tell them that was funny that, hey, they had Vaseline on their cap. But it's like, well, but it was still cheating. That's the thing. It's just funny how it's looked at differently.
Yeah. No, it is. It is. And I would put the guy – now, the only one that I think I wouldn't put in is Palmeiro, because he just outright lied when he did his finger to Congress and all that. There's something about him that –
his defiance was off-putting.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, Martin McGuire in 1987 as a rookie hit 50 home runs, and the ball was juiced that year.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Martin McGuire is a power hitter. I don't like Martin McGuire, to be honest with you. I think Barry Bonds is one of the best players to ever play the sport. And I think, I heard, again, using a reference on television the other day, I heard one of the guys who was voting for the Hall of Fame, he talked about Barry Bonds, and he said, you know, I just think Barry Bonds is one of, and he didn't vote for McGuire. He said, I think Barry Bonds is one of the best players in the sport, and I think he was on his way to the Hall of Fame. And he pretty much admitted, even though he didn't, that the reason he started doing the things that he didn't think were illegal were because of what Sosa and McGuire were doing. But I think Barry Bonds would have had a 500 home run career if he hadn't taken anything and his head hadn't exploded, you know. But
yeah.
But so I mean, you can really get nitpicking about it and start, you know, breaking it down of who's done what and, you know, who's had court bats, and then you even get into the, well, you know, what did Mickey Mantle take to be sober on the days after he drank all night long? You know, was taking that even the equivalent of steroids because he was trying to enhance his performance? I mean, you can get into all kind of things with it. I think Roger Clemens did steroids. I don't think there's any doubt about it. But I can't sit here and say that he's not one of the best players of my generation of watching baseball.
I know.
I mean, how can you say that, you know?
And people forget, too, it's not just about improving your game. It's about recovery. And I think that, you know, that gets lost in the argument there a little bit, too. But with people like Bonds and Clemens, it was like they were going in the Hall. They were Hall of Famers anyway.
Yeah.
So,
right.
I don't know.
They just stayed longer because of what they were taking. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And you know, and I'm sure McGuire was able to keep on going for a longer period of time. But, man, I mean, 11 years before Mark McGuire did that 98 season, he was a rookie player hitting bombs all over the place. And so was Canseco. I mean, did Canseco take something? Sure. But, I mean, was that not a power-hitting son of a gun when he was playing? Are you kidding?
He was like Jameis Winston. He was in the 30-30 club. He may have been in the 40-40 club.
That's right. Exactly.
All right, Bill.
Hey, Bill, you want a good note to leave on today? Something to make you happy?
Dan Quinn got fired.
816 hours from, what did he say? I missed it.
Dan Quinn got fired.
No, Dan. Sorry, I missed it. No, sorry, I can't report that news. But I'll give you equally as good news. 816 hours from today. That'd be 34 days, by the way. Pitchers and catchers report to spring training.
Awesome. Yeah, I think especially after Monday night when the college football season is officially over,
yep.
We're gonna need it, especially the Hawks sucking wind and everything. But yep. I'm looking forward to it for sure.
Bill, you were confused. That's four Mondays from now when the college football playoff final happens.
Yeah, good grief. It's a long way, it seems.
Yeah,
like.
They announced this morning they were pushing it back to February.
Give him another month.
Why not? Might as well.
Hey, Bill, you're the best. Thank you, my man.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend.
Thanks,
talk
Bill.
To you later.
It's 9:30.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.